here we are. I gotta say, this is a hard video to make because I don't really like this one that much. Welcome, all fellow wannabes. Welcome to the channel. I'm gonna scoot up a little bit here. Welcome to Wannabe Music Reviews. Whether you're an audio listener or a YouTube viewer, I just have to say thank you so much. I got something for you to check out really fast. Check this out. Oh, hi there. Okay, let's be real for just 1 second. Nobody ever likes asking for subscribers. No one wants to ask you to click the subscribe button and to click the bell, but this is your obligatory, time. If you want to subscribe to the channel, this is just your reminder to do so. I hate doing this stuff. I hate putting this at the beginning of the video, but statistically, it just makes the most sense to say it at this point because I enjoy doing YouTube. I love being a nerd. I love doing what we're doing here at Wannabe Critic Productions. And if you want to be a part of it, make sure you click the subscribe button and click the bell. You'll be notified every single time. Thank you for putting up with this. Let's get on to the content. Now that we got that out of the way, today we're reviewing Concrete and Gold by Foo Fighters in 2021. So needless to say, it's a little bittersweet because not only is it the last album to talk about from the Foo Fighters, but it's also an album that I'm just not that crazy about. I don't hate it. I don't I'm not going to hate on this album, but, you know, it just doesn't hit me the same way that the other ones do. And I've listened to it a couple of times now, you know, in the past couple weeks, I guess. And, you know, I think that, the review should speak for itself. So let's get into it. So starting the record off, we have T-Shirt, you know, with kind of like they kind of pull a trick on us a little bit because they start the album super duper soft, you know, with like this real like delicate like piece, you know, on the guitar. And then all of a sudden they come in with the oohs and ahs and it's super triumphant and it's awesome. And that leads right into Run. Now, Run, I think, is arguably the best song on the record. It had a super dope music video, which, you know, the Foo Fighters are definitely... not notorious, but they're very much known for having really cool music videos. And I think it definitely did its job here, you know, with the old people in the old folks home type thing, and they're rocking out, you know, and it's a dope song. I mean, it gets me every single time. I think it might be my favorite song on the album. It's catchy. It rocks. It just bleeds Foo Fighters. I mean, it really does. Like everything that Foo Fighters do, that they have done, I think really can be epitomized in this one song. I think it's a super good balance of everything they've done while still being a little bit different, you know, and kind of having a heavier approach, which they've done since The Color and the Shape, though, to be fair. So there's that. It's worth noting that the producer on the record, who does in fact happen to be Greg Kurstin, it says he's noted here with being a 7-time Grammy Award winning producer and multi-instrumentalist who has worked with artists including Sia, Adele, Beck, Kendrick Lamar, and the Foo Fighters. I remember there being a bunch of PR and a bunch of marketing around this and a bunch of like kind of not weirdness, but just kind of had an interesting story attached to it. Apparently, Greg and Dave went on a vacation together or something like that. And they just kind of started talking about music and they kind of found that they had a lot of the same musical like influences and like just enjoyed listening to a lot of the same music. And if you listen to The Bird and the Bee, it's kind of a weird group, you know? Whenever you think of a song like Do It Again by The Bird and the Bee, or maybe it's Again and Again, I can't remember exactly what it was, it might be kind of hard to attach, you know, success. It might be kind of hard to say like, oh yeah, I could totally see that on a Foo Fighters album. Or I see, you know, the guy that was behind that, like, you know, being a big part of the Foo Fighters' latest record, right? But, in a way, it kind of makes sense whenever you look at all the different ways that they kind of went with this album. If you listen to my Sonic Highways review, you would know that I wasn't like in love with that album, but I've come to appreciate it, you know, and I've come to appreciate it for what it is, even though I think it could have been better. I think there's a lot of really cool songs on that album. With this album, it just gets weird. It's just a weird album. Like if Sonic Highways didn't flow well, this one just is so broken up in a lot of ways. So let's just keep going. Right after Run, you have Make It Right, which is kind of, you know, has like a Rocky vibe to it. Kind of has, it has, does something, have something different. And I think it actually is a pretty good album, or it's a pretty good song rather, excuse me. And I think it has, you know, some, a good groove to it. You know, you can kind of feel like a little bit of that, like 80s era rock a little bit, like Aerosmith-y type vibes, I think. And then from Make It Right, you have The Sky Is a Neighborhood, which, you know, has lots of melancholy vibes to it. And just kind of has this big, like, anthem arena type thing to it. Almost in the same vein as Run, but now you have more of, like, a dark ballad type thing. And I'm not even really sure what The Sky Is a Neighborhood even means. But I think it was a good song to throw on the radio. And I think that those three songs leading into La-Di-Da, you know, ends up being a pretty good run. La-Di-Da is where things get a little weird for me, because I like the hook of, you know, the... And I like, but whenever it picks up and it switches pace and it kind of switches the way things are going, I admire them for trying something different. It's just not necessarily for me. And it's, you know, kind of repetitive. It kind of reminds me of kind of what we've been seeing on the latest Foo Fighters songs that have come out. It's been just a little samey, for lack of a better word. And I get it. You know, there's only so many things that you can do. And I can't imagine what it's like to try and compete in an industry right now, like the music industry, because streaming is king, you know, and it's hard to keep the attention of, you know, youths nowadays, or just people in general, because people just want to listen to a playlist. They want to listen to the best of the best. And it's a good chance that people aren't going to be able to hear a song like La-Di-Da. But even still, it just feels a little out of place. I don't even know if out of place is the right word. It just feels different. I'm just not crazy about it. It just feels different. And I feel like the song goes places that I wasn't expecting it to, but I ended up liking the way that I thought it was going to go more. And it just kind of like throws me off a little bit in terms of song structure. It's like we have kind of a cool vibe going, then just all of a sudden just kind of flips on a dime. And I just don't know that I'm crazy about it for the, you know, entirety of the song. The song's 4 minutes of that. So take that as however you want. Then we go into Dirty Water, which I think might be kind of more of a personal song for Dave Grohl. I think, you know, he references having his leg broken and there's metal in his bones. And I'm not really sure what the Dirty Water is supposed to reference. I remember reading something about this, but I can't remember exactly what the story was behind it. But I don't know. It puts kind of a image in your mind of maybe something of what he was going through during the time whenever he wrote this, because I think they ended up writing a lot of this album whenever Dave had his leg broken. And you know, I actually went to go see them whenever he did have his leg broken, and you could tell there was something missing. It was still a great show and the throne was awesome, but you could tell there was kind of something missing. And a lot of this album to me feels like there were maybe a lot of things missing on the last album. Maybe there was avenues that wanted to be explored, because a lot of this record feels like paying homage to Dave's like inspirations in a lot of ways. You kind of have like the hard rocky stuff. You have like some Sabbath-esque stuff on this album. And then you also have kind of like some Beatles-esque stuff, you know, Paul McCartney-esque stuff going on this album. And you can hear it. You can hear the influences all across the entire thing. So I think Dirty Water stands out. And this is just a very like personal song to Dave Grohl. And, you know, you can see it in the lyrics. But I do have to say it doesn't necessarily hit for me every single time. So then next we have Arrows, which aside from, you know, the two singles that came out, you had Run and The Sky Is a Neighborhood. Arrows actually is my third favorite song off of the album. It's probably my favorite song that wasn't a single. I think the hook's really good. I think this song nails it whenever it's trying to be different, but also trying to give you the feeling that you get whenever you listen to a Foo Fighters album. I think it totally nails its tone. We're going for something a little bit different, dark and ominous. And, you know, in a lot of ways it kind of meshes the Run aspect and The Sky Is a Neighborhood aspect to create a song that I think is pretty underrated on this album. It's a shame that it wasn't earlier. I think it could have done better had you put it, you know, maybe right after The Sky Is a Neighborhood. I think that those two songs would have meshed really, really well, actually. But you know, that's just me. It's a super duper dope song in my opinion. I think it's catchy and it sticks in your head. It's the type of song that whenever you would be listening to the album, you'd like get through the first three songs and then you'd skip immediately to track 7 because you want to get to that song, because the two that are before it just don't really hit the same way. Then we have Happy Ever After, Zero Hour, which is one of the oddballs I think on this album. I really like this song a lot, actually. kind of has a like Beatle, like mid seven, you know, kind of has like a Beatles vibe to it a little bit, like a little bit of a Blackbird type vibe. It's there. You can hear it. I mean, this sounds like the Beatles. I don't think there's any other way to say it. It's a little trippy, little happy, a little peaceful. But it's good. It's a good song, I think. Then you have Sunday Rain. I know that they try and feature Taylor Hawkins more and more on these albums. And, you know, I know he likes to sing. Obviously, there's Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. I think that there is just something that kind of throws me off. I never really liked Cold Day in the Sun. That never really struck a chord with me. And I'm just not a big fan of Taylor Hawkins singing, but that's okay. I know there's a lot of people that love this song and love Taylor Hawkins singing. And you know, I think it's cool of the bands to let him have that moment and be like, yeah, man, like sing the song, because evidently they like it, you know, and there definitely is an audience for it. I remember being at a concert for Concrete and Gold and just kind of tuning out a little bit whenever this song came on. I'm not crazy about it, but it does give me kind of like a Pink Floyd type vibe a little bit. And I think, I mean that in the best way possible, cause I do like Pink Floyd, but it sounds like Sunday Rain could be like on the wall. So, if that makes any sense. So, I mean, I guess I do like the song. I'm just not crazy about Taylor Hawkins singing. So that, take that for what you want it to be. But I remember being at the concert, and I remember seeing a girl that was just totally rocking out to this with her boyfriend and super duper into it. And I was like, that's awesome to know that there is definitely a big, you know, there's people out there that really like this song. So, you know, that's always a plus. People are going to like it, but just because it's not for me doesn't mean it's not a good song. My opinions, people, that's all it is. Then next we have The Line. Again, I think this kind of follows suit with Eros as being kind of, it's kind of the thing of we're trying something new, but we're also trying to kind of keep the attitude of the Foo Fighters, you know, and we're trying to be progressive with modern rock and pop music. But we want to give you something a little bit different. And I think The Line does a really good job of that, in the same way that Eros does a really good job of that. I think The Line and Eros could both be way up earlier in the album to keep me engaged. Because here's the thing. There are plenty of albums out there where it's like you put the first seven, you put your seven or eight best songs like right in a row. I understand wanting to tell a story, and I understand wanting to like give variation throughout the record. But if you do that, that makes me want to listen to the rest of it. And then now that I think about it, Dirty Water, La-Di-Da, Dirty Water, Zero Hour, Sunday Rain, Concrete and Gold would be a great like last five songs. If you literally took a few of these songs on the back half of the album and put them at the front, I think it would flow much better, personally. But that's just me. I do really like this song, though. I think it's good. And then we kind of come to the last song of the album, which is Concrete and Gold. And I'm just going to be honest, this song doesn't do it for me. It's too long, first of all. It's almost 6 minutes long. 5.5 minutes long. And it's just not the type of song that makes me want to immediately start this album over again. You know, I think you could have, if it were me, I would have maybe even taken Happy Ever After / Zero Hour and put that as the ending track and had Concrete and Gold, you know, towards the back half of the album. Because it's trying to kind of do a similar thing of, they're both kind of slow songs, but Happy Ever After is kind of having more of a peaceful vibe, where Concrete and Gold is like more of like an ominous, like almost Soundgarden-y vibe to it. And I'm just going to be straight with you. It just doesn't work for me. And I flat out just don't like the song. It's just, like I said, it's just not the type of song to whenever I listen to it, it makes me want to go through the entire thing again. I feel like it's just too long and just not a lot really going on. It's too long and too slow paced. Why are we having such a slow song to close out this record? I don't make those decisions. I'm obviously not a record producer, so I don't know. But overall, I think that this album has a lot of good things going for it. There's a lot that I just don't really care for. It, like I said, it kind of feels like a love letter to all of Dave Grohl's favorite bands. And, you know, he got to do some weird stuff. And, like, the band, it kind of feels like the band got to do some weird stuff that they wanted to do as well. I'm not hating on this. I'm being critical. You know, you critique the things you love. And, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of good here. The high points for me are T-Shirt and To Run, I think, is a really cool, you know, kind of different thing to do. And I do think that this is a very, like, I think that they were trying to have kind of a mesh of, like, Pink Floyd, the Beatles, Black Sabbath, you know, a little bit of Queen in there as well. Like, I do think that this is all of their favorite bands, all these legendary bands, and trying to like mash it onto one album. And I think in the end, as an overall thing, it just doesn't really work as a whole. But like I said, T-Shirt Into Run is cool. Sky Is the Neighborhood is obviously awesome. La-Di-Da is a hard one for me. I love parts of it, and I dislike other parts of it. Arrows is awesome. Happy Ever After is a good song. Sunday Rain, don't like it really because of the vocals. Sorry, Taylor Hawkins. I think The Line is a really underrated song as well. The Line and Arrows are both underrated songs. And then to end it with Concrete and Gold, it just doesn't really do it for me, man. I know as fans of music, we want different, right? Like, we want diversity. We want it to feel different. This is too much. It reminds me of like things that I heard back on One by One, and it just doesn't really land for me. So there's that. As far as the score goes, I'm going to go with a 7 out of 10. I do think there's a lot of good here, but you know, as a whole album, it just doesn't, as a whole album, it's good. You know, I think 7 is average. It's definitely not one that I want to buy on vinyl, and it's not really one that I want to come back to that often. But there are several songs that I would put on like a best Foo Fighters list type thing, because I think there's some really, really good songs here. So there's that. Well, thank you for listening. I know that was kind of a longer review, but I'm trying to do that more with these track by track reviews. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to talk about this stuff. And I always say you don't really know how you feel about something until you start talking about it. And the more I started talking about this record, the better a 7 felt. And, you know, it needed to happen. You know, I was dreading reviewing this album because I knew I was going to be a little hard on it. But I look forward, you know, to see what's happening in the next album. You know, who knows, you probably have already heard that review by now, depending on when this review comes out. At this point, you know, new Foo Fighters record comes out in a couple weeks. So stay tuned for that if it hasn't come out yet. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. But before you go, check this out. Hey there. So, you have stumbled onto one of the many projects that we have over at Wannabe Critic Productions. This just happens to be the music project. I review music, and I have ideas to do other things music-related on the YouTube channel and the podcast. I just have to say thank you so much for checking it out. I really, really appreciate it. But if you want to check out more stuff that we have going on over on our, you know, various projects, I encourage you to go check out some of the projects in the description down below, whether it be our YouTube channel where we post podcasts. There's going to be Let's Plays, there's reviews, there's interviews, there's all kinds of things over there. But we've kind of morphed it to be a kind of catch-all for all the different things that we do other than music. So I encourage you to go check that out. That being said, though, thank you so much for listening today or watching today. I really appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on podcast services, make sure you leave us a review. I would really appreciate it, and it would help, you know, keep me relevant. So I am Gabriel Fast. I will always be the Wannabe Critic.